Hello, Mixed Nut Cases. This is Nick Joss, and I've got another nutty chat for you for the dog days of podcasting. With me today, I've got Bill.
Hi there.
And Bill, why don't you tell everyone where you're from?
I'm from Rochester, New York. And if you don't know what that is, where that is, it's between Buffalo and Syracuse. She's from downstate. I'm from the other end of that state.
Yes, yes. We're never the twain shall meet, except when I have to drive through.
Yeah. At least you know this. At least you're not one of those New Yorkers that think there's nothing between Albany and Buffalo. I have to say that. There are some people like that.
This is true. Well, and there's many, many downstaters that don't think that there's really anything upstate but cows. So,
oh yeah, we've got apple orchards.
Yeah, yeah. There's the apple orchards. So you just you're cracking me up here. You just had a big podcast event happen to you, right?
Which podcast event? I mean, I'm doing my episodes, but But you mean like the Rock Podcast thing? The Rock Podfest?
You know what? I think I might have confused you with someone else. I thought you came up on a big anniversary.
No.
Okay,
I haven't. I don't know when I started, so I'm not keeping track.
Oh, there you go. You don't know when you started.
All I know is I'm on season 4.
Oh, okay. There you go. You do them in seasons then.
Yeah, I do 8 episode seasons, and they're roughly a year, except for the first season, because it was kind of over 2 years. Because I was getting started, and I'm actually pod-fading this one to work on another one.
Oh, goody. Well, are you pod-fading it, or are you ending it?
October is going to be the last one I'm going to do. I'm working on one for this month. September, I've got one I'm doing. October, I'm going to be doing one, and October is just this, you know, it's sort of the series send-off.
So you say goodbye, though.
I'm going to say goodbye.
Then that's ending it. That's not pod-fading.
Oh, okay.
That's a much better end. I can't stand when a podcast pod fades because you don't know if they're ever coming back, because some of them do.
Yeah, no, I'm ending it, and I'm going to be working on another one.
I'm still waiting for you, Weekend Whedon. Come on. You got another one in you. Sorry. That's a very old school podcast.
All right. One I probably haven't heard it.
It's from like 2004.
Oh, that's before I even knew about podcasts.
Yeah, it pod faded and it came back briefly for like a couple of months, and then it was gone right again. And it was like maybe 2 years ago that I finally removed it from my feed.
There's one that I was listening to that just kind of fell apart. It was a audio drama called The Leviathan Chronicles.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, I know it was good. It's like, and they left. They supposedly have a couple more episodes to edit, mm-hmm. but that was like a couple years ago, and they've never dropped. It's like, so I have on the feed just in case it shows up.
Yeah, I think there's still like an Angel Between the Lines episode that's still waiting to drop, and it's sitting on somebody's hard drive somewhere. It's sad. But that's the thing. Like, some of these shows will come back after years gone. And then so many of them don't. There's one that I was listening to, and I was desperate to get more episodes. And so I tracked down the person who runs the website that it was on, and I said, "What happened?" And they're like, "Oh, one of the hosts died." I was like, "Oh, okay, never mind.
God. Oh, wow.
I forgive them." They're like, they couldn't even do a goodbye episode. It was just too difficult.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Sometimes when they pod fade now, I'm like, oh gosh, I hope everything's okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Most likely, probably the pod fade means their day job is getting in the way, or their family is getting in the, is like, they don't have time to do it anymore.
Exactly.
And let's hope it's just that.
Yes, that's what I hope. That's what I try to think of. You know, it's like, oh, they were just on to bigger and better things. And that's happened so often. There's so many podcasts I can think of where it's like, well, why aren't there new episodes? Because that person's actually getting paid. Like Stranger Things TV. Why aren't there more episodes?
Oh, yeah.
He
works
in the industry. Wasn't that great?
Oh, that was like I said, that guy was the next Rod Sterling.
Yep. It was absolutely fantastic. I loved it so much. And then, then Earl started getting paid. So good for him.
Yes. That's good. That's what he wanted. So,
yep. So tell us, what is this new project you're starting up?
It's, I hope people don't hate me for this, but it's called The Literary Wasteland. And it's basically, I'm going to be reviewing self-published books, mostly science fiction and fantasy books.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Why would I hate you? Are you going to tear them apart?
I'm going to be fair, but the only problem is like, you're looking at a guy who likes cyberpunk and started reading Cryptonomicon and had to put the book down and never went back to it. So, but no, I mean, it's like, I'm just expecting that these are, it's like watching a bad movie. It could be fun. It could be painful. And it's, I don't know how strong my sanity is.
Well, as long as you're fair and you're not mean, you'll be fine. And there's so many great self-published books out there. I mean, I know. Think about it. Nathan Lowell is self-published.
I love his stuff. Exactly. I love The Traitor's Tale. I should say that.
Yes. That The Traitor's,
That's Horatio Wong.
Yes. Yes. The Cher series. Gotcha. I'm like, wait, which one's the one, the fantasy one, and which one's the...
The one that's the kind of the lo-fi, hard sci-fi, yeah.
Yeah. The Merchant Marines in Space.
Yeah.
That's what I call it. I was very excited that when I was talking to Nathan after reading it, I was like, you know, the whole series, it's very accurate to me because my family, I come from a Merchant Marine family.
Okay.
My father was a Merchant Marine and two of my brothers were Merchant Marines. My sister-in-law is a Merchant Marine. My godfather was a Merchant Marine. Like, they're everywhere, right? I grew up going on oil tankers. And I said, you know, this is very true to how things are done. And he's like, well, that was my plan. I was like, okay, so you were going for that. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly what I was going for.
Yeah, I think didn't Nathan serve in the Coast Guard, though?
Yeah, he was in the Coast Guard, a good idea.
Yeah, because they police all that, so as well as search and rescue. So,
yes, they do. They do so much, actually. And so he had a lot of experience to draw from. And
yes.
So there you go. Okay, that's the good side of self-publishing. And then there will be like a bunch of people who have written their books for NaNoWriMo, didn't edit them, and put them out as ebooks. Are you going to have like a special category for like, I can't finish this?
I don't know. We'll see.
I feel like life is too short for bad books. So if you can't finish something, you shouldn't force yourself.
Okay. I just think it's like, if I'm going to review it, it's like sort of a professional courtesy to finish it, I guess.
Yeah, but you have to understand that you may run into a situation where you're like, I really can't. I just can't.
Okay. All right. Like I said, I had a friend who tried to do science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, tried. I keep telling him, it's like, he writes me like, I'm glad I don't talk to this guy anymore, but it was a long time ago. And he'd write this stuff. And he'd write me like a couple lines. He goes, what do you think? I go, give me the rest of it. That's what I keep telling him. Yeah. Flesh it out. Work on it. Don't just give me a little fragment of an idea and say what I think. Where's the rest of it? I keep telling him.
Yep.
I'm the one that I was hard on him when he did. I was like, literally, I wasn't like tear him apart, but I was kind of hard saying, you know what? You got to do this. If you want to be this, then you got to do something. You got to be writing. You got to come close to at least trying to finish a draft or something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there was this writing group that Tech and I were part of years ago. And the whole point of it was to get critiques. And we would all write in response to these prompts. And it was very frustrating, especially for Tech, because all we would get are grammar and spelling and you know, past tense and present tense, which are all great edits, but we were really asking for and literally saying, please give me tips on story and flow and construction of a story. You know, these are prompts. We only have a couple of days to write a response. So like, I'm obviously not giving you my perfected draft, but tell me where in the writing am I doing wrong? And that would have been, you would have been perfect for that. Cause you would have said, you know, well, we need more details here, or, you know, this story arc isn't going in the way that you would think it would, or why is this character doing something? And that's like good feedback.
Yeah. Like some of the stuff, like he did flesh out a little bit more of it one time. And I told him, okay, I'm just reading as like, okay, why should I, and I'm trying to tell him, why should I care about this character? And he's like, he likes anthropomorphics stuff.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I just said, why should it? Well, because it's a humanoid rabbit. I go, no, why should I care about your main character besides that? trying to say, give me something interesting. Give me something I should care about.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, you know, why did people start caring about Worf in Deep Space Nine? Because his character had something to do and something to say. Whereas in early seasons of Next Gen, he was just an alien.
Yeah, he was a background character.
Exactly. And when you're writing about somebody, it doesn't matter if they're a humanoid rabbit or a Klingon or a human or a fairy. You need to know who the character is, and you need to know, why do I care?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that will be very interesting. What are you going to call this new podcast?
It's called The Literary Wasteland.
Oh, you already said that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And the reason is because it's self-published. They're not published by the New York publishers.
Yep.
They're not even by the small press. They're kind of out in the fringes, yep, trying to carve something out.
Which is awesome. I kind of like that.
Okay.
You need, I don't know what your album art is, but like, it would be really great if you had this whole like Fallout Wasteland theme going on.
I'd like to. I'm not an artist. I'm like, I'll like, my logo there is just some clip art I found that's for the Radical Geek. And that was like me, okay, draw a triangle, different colors. I can do that in PaintShop Pro. And okay, Breen, where is this from? Okay. Good, perfect. Bring a picture from the Australian Association of Psychiatrists off their website. I'll take that. Reverse the colors. Boom. You know, make the color right. Boom. I can't draw. I could do stuff like that, but I'll have to get somebody to do it for me.
Yes, yes. It's a shame you don't know any artists.
I kind of do, but I have friends. I'm learning that some friends of mine actually do draw, mm-hmm, so I might have, you know, I can ask them.
There you go. There you go. All right. So where can everybody find you?
Well, currently it's at the www.theradicalgeek.me. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Twitter as The Radical Geek. I'm also on, well, the thing is, the Radical Geek thing is kind of like, it's kind of blurred. My podcast and my personal are kind of blurred together.
Yep. I know what that's like.
Yeah. So it's like, even if you, it's like, there's nothing on Facebook. Because The Radical Geek's my login for Facebook, my own, right, personal site. So, yeah, you'll find, yeah, just go to the website. Actually, the website, actually, I've been doing some blogging as well. It's just besides the podcasting stuff. So I'm putting on, like, some personal stuff.
Nice.
On there as well. So certain things about my past that is very interesting. Like my late father, who's a hoarder.
Oh, neat. And I don't, yeah, mean like, oh, neat, I like looking at people with mental illness. I mean, oh, neat, because it's really, I think that's one of the things that I hate is I hate the whole TLC, oh, let's look at people who have problems and laugh at them thing. I don't like that. No. But I do think that hoarding is a very interesting topic because it's an addiction like anything else. And it's one of these things that we can all see ourselves doing, like, especially geeks,
yeah,
we all kind of have this hoarder mentality. And, mm-hmm, and when you delve into those stories about people who have it so much worse, you can start to identify patterns in your own life.
Yeah. Well, like I said, when I'm growing up with my father's hoarder, it's like, he was an electrician and did all this, and he would like, we'd have like scrap metal and wire and all this stuff that he'd do. And we never have a garage we can park a car in.
Yep.
And things like that. His car, I mean, like, I remember, like, sitting, if I had to drive my father's car or his truck or van or something like that he used to work with, I'd have to put my legs around a 5-gallon bucket that was in the floor in front of the passenger seat.
Oh, my goodness.
And other stuff. Yeah, it's like he had a bunch of 5-gallon drum, 5-gallon buckets where he stored stuff in.
Yep. Yep. It reaches into every bit of your life.
Yes.
So, all right. So, The Radical Geek, while the podcast may be going away, The Radical Geek is not, and The Radical Geek is here to stay, because that's you.
Yes, that's me. That's The Radical Geek is actually anybody who uses their geekiness for creative and push the scene,
yeah,
trying to, you know, contribute to the scene. That's what a Radical Geek is, at least in my mind.
And if you can live up to those ideals, you can keep using that name.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This has been a a blat? A blast. Getting a little peek into your life and into your upcoming projects, which sound really interesting, and we will all be paying attention.
Okay. Hope to have it in a couple months.
Great. Thanks joining us, and stay cool, everyone. Bye.
On a quest for domination, evil sorcerers from another land tore apart the barriers between our worlds, and the release of magical energy burned the earth. 10 years later, a young woman named Skylar took control of the magic and used it to stop them and seal the rift. Earth was saved. Or so it seemed. Now, a new threat rises. Though the rift was closed, sorcerers from that distant land still live in our world, and the greatest of them, Embryal, has vowed to open a new rift. Helping him is Cassandra, a dark reflection of Skylar, who is devoted to him heart and soul. Will Skylar's magic be enough to stop them? And when she finally comes face to face with Cassandra, will she use her power against someone she so easily could have become? Written by Justin R. McCumber and published by Crescent Moon Press, A Broken Magic is the second book in the Born of Fire series. Skylar's adventure began in 2012 with a minor magic, and now it continues as Skylar once again pits herself against powers older and stronger than she is. Amy Dale, author of Off With Her Heart, says, "Justin McCumber's Born of Fire series follows a very unique storyline, and I love that it doesn't feel just like every other book I've read. He has an amazing way of developing a universe that you can see. I am excited for what more is to come from Mr. McCumber." And Philippa Ballantyne, author of Wraith and Hunter and Fox, declares, "Justin McCumber knows how to master both action and character. His writing takes you to places you'll want to go." A Broken Magic is available in print and ebook from Amazon and Barnes & Noble. To learn more about the author, please visit him at justinmccumber.com and facebook.com/JustinR.
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlas Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlasstudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlas.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.